on you.
Oh, hi.
On in.
Sorry to get you away.
No, sir.
Good, I'll be editing here on something that's over here. Well, you're busy day, I guess.
Yes, sir.
It's going to continue to be, because I not only have respect, but I have respect.
I said, I worry when I see you going up on the hill and making statements about investing tax credit. And I said, I worry when I hear you say that Social Security changes and revisions ought to be postponed in 7172. I worry when you talk about wage and income policy. I said, I know you've been chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors. You've been on it. I know you've been counselor to the president. You're now head of the Federal Reserve. I said, of all the leading spots, you've been three out of the four. I said, counselor to the president. You've been on the Council of Economic Advisors. You're now
very good.
You're now on the Federal Reserve. You've been
very good.
Secretary of the Treasury. And I said, now I know that you have expertise in all these fields. But I said, now, I said, I tried not to talk about your business. I said, inevitably, I get drawn into it. And I tried to stay away. I simply said that I have great confidence in Dr. Burns, what he's going to do in terms of monetary supply. I said, I've tried to pin you down. But I said, well, yeah, you've gone there. And I said, yeah, I said, you've talked about, at least in my view, what the Council of Economic Advisors chairman ought to be talking about, what the President himself ought to be talking about, what the Secretary of Treasury ought to be talking about. If I've got anything left in Treasury, it is some responsibility for taxes and tax policy under the President in this administration. Yet you're up talking about investment tax credits and changing the Social Security from January 71, 72. Well, he said, now, how this happened. And I said,
not this play bottom.
Yeah, that's right. I said, well, you don't have to tell me. I said, I'm not criticizing. I'm making observations. I said, now, I said, I'm not offended. I said, I'm not benefited. I said, I just wonder what the ground rules are. And I said, now, if you're going to keep talking about everybody else's business, I said, frankly, I think you have a lot of people going to be talking about your business. And I said, if you don't get yourself in the corner where over here, I said, selfish, I want to know what your policies are going to be. I said, hell, I got enough trouble without aligning myself with you in the traditional alliance that exists between Treasury and Federal Reserve. And I said, you're going to keep on if you do this. In my judgment, you're going to get everybody in town saying that, hell, that there ought to be some fundamental changes in the Federal Reserve structure. You ought not to have this independence. I said, if you're going to continue yourself and talk about monetary policy, that's one thing. But I said, hey, what you've done? Well, he said, I'm in no criticism. And then he explains how it happens. He said, I get up there and said, hey, dude, he is an economist with some reputation. Of my background, they start asking me all these questions. And I said, yes, you just admit that you know a hell of a lot about it. And you start talking to them. And I said, I don't understand that. And I said, it's hard for anybody as vain as you or I are not to show that we know something. And he laughed, and I laughed. And I said, now, that's a good way to put it. I said, now, Arthur, you're going to have some problems. And I said, I can see the governor around here. And I said, now, I had dinner with the staff the other night. I said, about 20 of them. Said what, and I picked up stuff in Treasury, and I picked up stuff here and there, and I said, you're going to get blamed for the Social Security change, and you're going to get blamed for this investment tax credit bill, and I said, you're laying yourself open for a hell of a lot of things that you're not really responsible for, and that you really ought to be concerned yourself. And I said, frankly, I was disturbed. I said, I don't mind telling you. I said, now I want you to analyze me because I was disturbed the other day, the last meeting of the quadrant. I said, the President flashed anger if I don't know how to interpret it when he said to me. Now, Arthur, that's the way it's going to be. And he also, I said, he flashed because you've been criticizing Paul McCracken and George Shields. I said, you did that at the meeting before. I said, he was reacting to it, or that's the way I read it. I said, would you agree with that? He said, yes, I do. And I said, well, I understand how he's not going to let you criticize his people around front of him.
I said, hell, if you got any criticism.
Well, he said, I have to say what I believe. I said, Arthur, nobody is asking you to say anything you don't believe. Nobody's asking you to say anything to compromise your president. Well, he said, I don't see the president. The president told me, he said, when I went to church, he said, I wish to tell him I won't see him privately. He said, the next night at the party, he said, I'll call. He said, I've not heard from him. He said, I don't understand how he can get tied up. Can get tight, but said, I will see him. Said, I will see him privately. And I said, I won't tell him that I've got to say these things, and that I'm doing what I think's best for him. I said, and he said, I've got to tell him that I was for him long before he even one of us thought he was going to be president. I've got to tell him I was for him in the lean days. Said, I've got to tell him that back when he was vice president, I was for him, and I stood with him through all the intervening period. I said, well, that's fine. And he said, I've got to tell him that I love him, and I'm going to do everything I can to help him. I said, well, that's fine. I said, the trouble is, it seems to me, where I said, that you're trying to make a decision of what's helpful and what isn't. And I said, maybe you think you're in that position. I'm not. I said, I want you to know exactly how I feel, because I'm going to lay everything out on the table. I said, I'm going to say to the president what I think about the issues. And I'm going to try to give him the best advice I can, if he'll permit me to do it. And I'll make as persuasive an argument as I can based on the facts that I have. But once he makes a decision, I'm not damn sure that he's going to be a decision I'm going to follow and promote. And if the time ever comes when I can't do that, why, I'll go to him and say, Mr. President, you're a far away agent. And I said, you can't sit over here and profess to be a great friend. And then he started talking about the economics. He said, well, he said he's got some folks around him looking at these reports every week and every 2 weeks. And he said, what we're interested in is the long pull. So where are we going to be next year? I said, I understand that. And I said, he's not unaware of that. He knows when the election is. And I said, you don't need any advice from me, but let me give you some advice. And let me give it to you from a very selfish standpoint. And I said, don't you go there when you have this private meeting. I said, don't you go there and start giving him advice and telling him how independent you are, or how you're going to stand on principle. I said, hey, you are his friend. He's been your friend. But I said, what you better do is reassure him that friendship. I said, things change in people's lives and relations, Arthur. And I said, hell yes, you can be independent. You say you don't need this job. You don't need this reputation. You don't need this money. I said it, but he wanted it. He thought he was doing something that you wanted. Well, he said, I did. He said, I've been trained for this job. He said, I've never been taught. And he said, I've achieved quite a reputation. I said, I know you have. And I said, don't let that reputation, and don't let that pride, and don't let that vanity destroy you now, because we all need you. I said, we can't stand that. I said, you're one of the few people in this world that does have a long relationship with you. You are an extremely competent man in the field of economics, in the field of monetary policy, and in the field of politics on this hill. And I said, we can't lose you. And I said, you go there and you can try to back the president into a corner, and you can lecture him to the point where, hell, he never will see you. I said, he has pride too. And he has strength, and he has some knowledge. After all, he's president. And he feels like he's come a long way, just like you feel like you have. And I said, at no point are you trying to show your independence at this stage in life. I said, what do you want to show it for? I said, you cut the rest of us completely loose. And I said, I'm talking from a very selfish standpoint. I said, I don't know what the situation is. But I said, I don't think there are many people in this cabinet that have any great influence for the president. I think you're in a position to have more influence with him, to be listened to more than anybody. anybody around you if you handle yourself well. But I said, you can't do it by going in there and laughing you every time, you see. And by saying, how, telling you how independent you are and how you're going to do something that's against his best wishes, but you're going to do it for his best benefit. I said, because he's got a right to make a few decisions and a few choices of his own. I said, so for God's sake, for my sake, swallow your pride. And I said, don't stand on your independence. And I said, when you see him, start off by telling him you want to help him. And I said, mean it. I said, now it's fine to get a reputation out of this town about how standoffish you are with the press. You'd be a great man with the press. But I said, that isn't what you want to do. I said, if you do, you're going to be isolated. You're not going to have a chance to say anything. You're not going to have any influence with anybody except these governors around here. And I said, you may not have that long. If you develop to the point where you bring about a confrontation. And I said, that's the last thing. And I said, the final answer. I said, you talk to me about principle and doing things for your country. I said, this president, like any president, needs your advice. He needs your counsel. He needs your help. He doesn't need your arrogance or your pride or your independence. None of those mean a damn thing to him. Any more than mine mean anything to him. Well, he said, you've given me a new outlook. He said, I do want to help. He said, I have been trying to help. He said, in every way that I know I've been trying to help, I'm convinced that we're conducting the policy the way you're doing that is helpful to us. Now and in the long run. He said, he can't just look at a week or 2 weeks. He said, we got to look at this thing over a year. Well, in summary now, he did an about face in terms of his approach. He said, he first told me that he was going to come. He was going to say, he used this to you, that he was going to have to do what he thought was right, and so forth. Then he turned around and he said, well, you've given me a new dimension. And he said, I think you're right. He said, if I'm an obsessive, if I am doing anything for my country, I have to do it through him. And he said, I think you're right. I can don't do it, and I want to. I'll take your advice. All right. That's about the minute. But he was not in any sense critical. He obviously thinks he knows more than
Schultz or
than right. George
Homecraft.
Yeah, very serious. And, but he was not critical of that. I mean, be fair. He was not in the least critical, but, he was not by name, but a time or two, and I interpreted being him. He said there are people over there who are advising him on monetary policy who don't know anything about monetary policy. They don't know anything about the monetary system. And I said, all right, let's assume that to be true. Then why in the hell do you want to destroy your influence? I said, the important thing is for you to have access whenever you want it, and have it on a basis where the president's going to listen to you. Be guided by your judgment, or at least consider your judgment. And I said, that if I read the tea leaves right, that isn't the way things are going. It's going the other way. I said, you're isolating yourself more and more. And I said, frankly, I don't want to be isolated with you. I said, now, from a very selfish standpoint, I don't want to stick with you. I said, hell, I've got to. I said, normally, that's Treasury and Federal Reserve would be right together, and that's the way I want it. But I said, if you're going to isolate yourself, I can't go with you.
Sir.
So that was the general approach that I took, and he was very reasonable. We talked for an hour. He gave me a lot of figures. He gave me a lot of background. He told me about his, when he was with the council, and he put out an economic report that George Humphrey didn't like, and this was probably an answer that they had a hell of an argument about. He said that Gabe Hoggy was here at the White House at the time. Hoggy said that what's the trouble with you and Humphrey? Said, looks to me like you're getting a revolt going. He said, I better get a hold of the Vice President Obita and Jim Mitchell and get you some help. He said, no. He said, don't do that. He said, when the cabinet meeting, he made the economic report. He said, the first man to speak up was you. And in support of his economic report, Mitchell and all the rest of them did then. that might be important. And I said it because I believe it. He was telling me about his long friendship, and this was part of it with you. And I said, well, I don't question it in the least, but I said, let me tell you something. I said, things change in the affairs of men, and their perspective changes, and their needs change, their desires change, and their loyalties change at times, depending on circumstances. And I said, now, I have a relationship with President Johnson that I think was closer than yours with President Nixon. I said, went back in 1939. We've been in lots of scrapes together, personal and political, and been in the Navy together. But I said, when he became president, and I was governor, I had certain amount of independence. And my ambitions and needs weren't precisely his. And I said, there was a strain developed. And I said, I tried to tell him to get rid of all the Kennedy people. And I tried to advise him, but I wasn't around all the time. And I said, he got to where he didn't want to hear that from me anymore. And I said, well, I saw him, but hell, I quit trying to advise him because it didn't do any good. Because he saw me proceeding independently, and I was proceeding independently. And I said, now your situation is a damn bit different. I said, whatever your past relationship has been, if you sit over here in your little kingdom and say, I'm independent, the president's attitude is going to be, okay, you be independent. You sit over there. We'll see what happens. Now, past water is one thing. He'll regard you as an old friend. But if that shall be as an old friend, it won't be as a new friend. And I said, if I don't think about you, human relationship. And I said, now I've been through it. And I said, you're older and you're wiser than I am. But I said, I want to give you that little personal relationship. I said, now, Dave, President Johnson says the great mistake he made in the presidency was not cleaning the house with all his cabinet, of course. And he tells me that. And he said, I should listen to you. And I said, I don't say I told you so. And I said, I shrugged, threw up my hands. And I said, Mr. President, that's over and done with. I said, that's behind me. And so it doesn't do any good to run around town and say, I told you so. Doesn't do any good to say that we're not going to make 1065 or next year say, well, I told you it wasn't going to work. I said, that ain't the truth of the damn thing. So I threw in that personal analysis of a friendship. And I likened his independence as chairman of the Federal Reserve to mine as governor and the separation. And drew that analogy. And I said, now you can't trade on those friendships. I said, friendship is a continuing task for anybody. It's something you have to work in. And I said, you damn sure have to work at it when the man you want to be friends with is president of the United States. And I said, you just keep forgetting. So that was the kind of conversation we had earlier. It was that fine.
It may be that you may have, because he basically is an intelligent man, that he may have gotten some of his shape of that. The main, that his problem is that, I mean, we all do to an extent. For sure, this is his over the long. But he also is very much interested in his own preservation, his own success. But, so, now, your suggestion is you would recommend him that I see him now.
Yes, sir.
And what do I want to talk to him about?
Well, first place, he has to see you.
He's a great one. I'm coming to lunch here and everything, so I'll listen for him a while.
I've listened to him, and frankly, I thought, Mr. President, I tell him what you want him to do. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, and just say, all right. And I will review the bidding for him. Just say, you're not chairman of the council right now. Now, Brad, you may believe if you want to quit, I may name you, but until I do, you quit acting like it. And you're not over here running office and managing the budget. And just say, now, you got your problems, and I'll listen to you about monetary affairs and other things. But for God's sake, don't publicly get out here and act like your president laid down a program to fight inflation and unemployment, because that's what you've done. You say you've covered the waterfront, you've covered monetary policy, you've covered wage and price control, you've covered taxes, you've covered the whole economic picture. And that's all a president can do. And that's not your prerogative to be doing that, however wise you are. And you ought to do me that way. I really, I think you can say these things to him. I think he'd take it in a personal meeting when he would be offended in the quarry, because he does have a
problem. And what is your view as to when we should have another quarry? Should we have one next week? I think I don't know any overriding reason to have to unless there's some need for it.
Let me get at a couple of points in that respect. I was talking to George. George said, well, is a huge economy. We're talking about a $1 trillion economy, Jesus Christ. So we miss it by $15 million.
You know what I mean?
It is.
$15 billion. $15 billion.
What the hell is the difference?
What's $15 billion in a trillion?
You know what I mean?
That, it's the percentage that's so small.
And I think everybody is it's 1%. 1.5%.
Well, now what in the hell?
If I'm not going to fire anybody for 1.5% error out of a trillion, are you?
Why?
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, it really depends on having it bounce at the right time,
Ashburn.
I think we've got to ride through these first few months. They're tough months, and it's taking a little more time for the economy to come back. The consumers aren't moving quite as fast as we thought they would hope they would.
They'll start to move, in my opinion.
And they may start, they'll start to feel a little bit. A lot of things will happen. The way I kind of visualize things is this, frankly, that this may seem totally wrong, but it really isn't, because you've got to sort of see all of these things in terms of psychology. I was talking to a fellow that was in New York for that fight the other night, this auction manager. He said, you know, he went for $150. He said, he's not a boxing fan. What do you think, Brady? He said, there were at least 500,000 people on the streets that night. He says, all the restaurants were packed. He says, I went to Mercurio's before dinner. He says, it was a Monday night. They've never been full on Monday night for years. He says, they haven't lined up. I went to 21 afterwards, and it was at 3 to 4 o'clock. Everybody was moving. There was an excitement and so forth. People were caught up in that because it was an exciting project. You know what I mean? It's like people getting caught up in a Rose Bowl or a Sugar Bowl or a Super Bowl or that's in the field of athletics. But De Gaulle once said that France has never been her true self unless she was engaged in the great enterprise. Now, and so it is with this nation and this people. As we, our whole psychology is going to change gradually as people get a little bit more confidence. Now, basically we have to understand the war has eroded confidence a great deal in this country. It has eroded it because first people never understood it. Should have been tackled much earlier in 60. In other words, if the speech I made on November 3rd, 69, and Johnson made it November 65, that's right. He'd be sitting here right today. In other words, you've got to sit out there and do it. Now, it's too late now to get the American people to go out. Well, not completely. We can still, they'll still be for the country, but the chips are already down. But we're seeing it through. But that's what's going to happen in the balance of the year. That's, first of all, the Laotian venture, it'll be completed. And despite all the acumen out there being retreat and all that sort of thing, the main point, John, let me say, they've been in there, they will have been in there 6 weeks on Tuesday. They have totally disrupted the timetable. There will not be a, therefore, a spring offensive. There will probably not be any summer offensive. It means that the withdrawal schedule continues. It means that by the 1st of April or 15th of April, they will be out of bombs. It means our casualties will continue to go down. It means that, and here's what the big play is, that this summer I can make a couple of very good announcements. One about more combat troops, no more draftees first, and then no more combat troops. And then after Q's election or re-election or whatever happens to him in November, we make a final announcement. Now all of this, I know exactly what we're going to do, but we're going to do it in a way South Vietnam has a chance to survive, because if it doesn't survive, free Asia isn't going to survive. Let me tell you, if after all being done for this little place, if the communists can take it now, then communism is the way of the future in Asia, period. Yes,
that's what's really involved here. Now, all this seems to digress from what we're talking about, and I'm sure you can see how relevant it is. I believe that as we move the war thing, it's positive. I believe that will help the psychology of the country, that it'll lift from that. As they see, well, the thing is going to come out all right. We are, not only we're just going to come. I believe, too, and this is the other very big strength of our goal, that as we have many, very well may have some partners with the Russians. Now, this is something that's totally, nobody knows about it. Rogers has some vague understanding, Kissinger does, but prior
this year. No doubt. Due to the fact that some of these damn companies, you know, they were paying these kids too much.
No. What I feel is that I'm a Pollyanna, and I'm sure you know. I think we should take a look April 15th, a real hard look. I think you, we want Argus, you, we want Paul's, we want George's. And you pick your best people, you'll pick your sort. We'll take a good hard look at the plan where we are now. If we decide then that the plan is to be changed, and then we can move us in terms of the, sorry, goosing it up through a tax, not a new tax bill, but you know, the American could change this, you know, this prison amendment that you see we could have done here. Now, then we'll do it. I'm not sure, but I think that bullet is not ready to shoot now. But now that's my view at the moment. But I think at the present time, what we have to do is to act confident, talk confident. We think we're on the right track here. Yes, this number didn't sound like we're pleased with this one, and we're moving along. I sat here with heads of government now for perhaps 100 of these clowns from all over the world. They're not clowns, but they represent countries which make them basically they have to play the role of my God, the United States, that's why when they talk about the balance of payments, we're sure it's a problem. But these other countries, we can put them all in our hat.
That's right.
I mean, we don't have problems. This country's got to get its self-confidence back. And it's going to use it. That's a place where you can help. I've got to help, I've got to say it. But here's where Arthur comes in. Every time Arthur, who is known to be a top counselor to the president and a friend and confidant and so forth, when he expresses gloom about our plans and our programs and so forth and so on, it naturally has an effect in changing that confidence. That's my view. And I've talked all around to give you an opportunity. You come in here now and say, You think this is about the right plan? Let's hold on until April 15th. Then we'll take a look. On April 15th, then we make a decision. We either go forward with the same plan for the Mouser, or then we may have to decide that we're going to go on the tax cap.
Let me comment for the moment.
You must have thought of these things.
If I may, well, first, I have a little argument with what the way things are going.
You have?
Not whatever. First place, I don't think it's important that you reach it in 69. The only thing that's going to do is, whether you reach it or not, depends on whether you have an $11.6 billion deficit or a $15 billion deficit. Now, you don't want 15.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd rather have none. But that isn't the point. You've already said I'm for deficit spending this year under all the circumstances. So you're going to spend the same amount of money whether you hit 1065 or not if the Congress appropriates it. You've asked for it in the budget. If they give it to you, you're going to spend it. Now, we may have a shortfall in revenues, but so what? Now, why go with a personal exemption right now? That's his argument. He says he wants to give tax relief. Let's turn his argument on. The savings and loans do have money. Personal savings are at 7.3%. They're higher than hell. The banks do have enormous amounts of money in personal savings. People are not yet spending it. That's true.
That's right.
But why give any more to suck away? Why give them a tax cut?
Arthur's point, basically, confidence is the thing, he said. Well, you see, he argued Arthur argued out of both partners about the one hand, he says, give people more money. But the other hand, he says, don't lose enough on money supply.
That's right.
Now, what the hell? You can't argue both.
That's right.
You can get money from either direction, if I understand.
Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't want these interest rates. I keep talking about interest rates coming down. Because it's going to take a tough line to drive these big factories down and our insurance companies primarily the long term is our interest rates. But you don't want them down until next spring because they're volatile. We can't hold this interest rate on short term treasuries, in my judgment, down to 3.2 for God's sake.
We
were 18, sure, for 18 months. Well, we were 3.4 yesterday because we announced a $5 billion financing and went up about 12.12 from 320 to 332 or something like that, but it's incredibly low. You can't hold it until November 72. It's going to fluctuate. Now, if we get these long-term rates down, two CIPA die it'll be going back up next year. And or if you get inflation down, under too tight control this year, it's going to go back up next year. Nothing stays flat as you will not.
Or it's always moving.
It's always moving. That's going up or it's going down.
That's which way we want it to move.
That's correct. Now, the truth of the matter is that I think we probably locked ourselves into an automatic shortfall by the 1065 in the budget, but that's all right. Whatever's the way. When you get right down to it. Because I'm not sure you really want 1065 this year if you get it by the means we're talking about.
Yeah,
I think if you get by having 4% unemployment this year, and if you get your inflation down to 0 or 1 or 2%, because it can't stay there for 18 months.
No.
The economic forces in this country won't let it, because people are too damn selfish, and the labor unions are too selfish, and the businesses are too selfish, and they won't let you sit there with it.
No, they won't.
They'll grab you.
And you're right. They're all, the businessman comes in here and says, what a great patriot he is, and the labor unions are a bunch of bastards. They're all bastards. You know, let's face it, that's true. Everybody's trying to make a little buck.
No, sure.
I understand that.
that's
how the country gets where it is.
But the net of all I'm saying is I'm not the least disturbed. Now, housing, sure, you had a 2 million annualized rate in December, 1.7 million in January and February. But I've been waiting all that for 2 years.
That's awful high.
Ooh, it's awful high. And I wouldn't much care if we get the interest rates down, if it dropped a little bit. Both this year.
And just to see it through, having in mind the fact that the factor is, I think we have to keep constantly in mind the fact that all this talk, they call it the columnist, financial magazines and so forth and so on, all this emoting, grabbing around, this and that, and the other thing. And a lot of it is
well, Mr. President, let me give you an idea on that.
Yeah.
Most of this is bad.
Fed by the international bankers,
all these columnists who want to be worldwide monetary experts. And this is where all this balance of payments and stuff starts. And the central bankers in Europe are raising hell about it.
Drastic steps called for. You don't have to do it. The ministers all probably
heads to stay with the quiver and the boots. In fact, you're rushing, so you might not be able to do it unless you get some peace in the Middle East or salt talks or something that you can tie to. But if you ever get any kind of encouragement, just some word like that, and you stop all this for a year. Now, this would help you in your propaganda and your balance of papers. The economic picture might hurt you on the defense posture, so you might not be able to do it. It's just something to turn over your mind. But we've got to somehow shock these other countries into making them quit feeding all this propaganda. Because, see, they, in the luncheon that this ambassador gave, State Department cable came in on it. This guy that's the head of the central bank in the Netherlands just got up and criticized us for being very unwise, following a very foolish economic policy, and being totally disregarding our responsibilities to the countries of Europe and so forth and so on. He's called us a bunch of ploppers.
Right.
And, this is pretty tough to take with them.
Yeah,
they all like the Netherlands.
Yeah, well, God saves.
But anyway, I'm against it all. And that's just something that occurred to me today. And may not be wise at all for you.
Well, if you agree, let's follow that as our plan. And that's, I think we've got to stick to it. I'm going to tell our. Now, the other, that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to just not going to go for these tax givings and schemes and so forth. And we've got to quit talking about it until we decide otherwise. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Just for
our monetary policy, Arbor, I think I've got to say that I think we. He said he needed to have 5%, he's got to have 5%. Isn't that what we have to say?
Sure. And I'm going to tell him that privately. Just say, I'll say, you told me you're going to give me 5%, and you give it to me. I'm not going to say another word about it for a month. You can control that more than I know you are.
And he'll go while we're on. You know, he always says he will look at last month, but he forgets that the average is still lower than 5. But anyway, I'll get that. The other thing is that on the broader spectrum, wages and so forth and so on, wage and pricing. As you can sense from the other day, there is a feeling among, we have quite a few contractors in there, Romney, Bobby, and Block, and of course Stan has to an extent has had some background there. So they all are thinking in terms of, without thinking it through, of course, some sort of controls. John, I can tell you we haven't thought this through. It just isn't in the cards. I mean, I don't know anything that'll work. I mean, whatever we talk about, a wage freeze or so forth. I put it this way, we have only 2 months. You can do almost anything. But anything you do now, you're going to find out whether it works. And so therefore, you can't try anything if you're not sure it's going to be run work at all very well. I'm concerned about the wage push. I'm inclined to think that it's going to. But their suggestion as to what we're going to do about it is.
I don't know any answer to it because. You can freeze the wages and prices for a limited period of time, but it has to be very limited. Or you create so many hardships that you can't justifiably endure it. If you go beyond a very short period of time, then you have to set up boards for exemptions and so forth.
You,
the bureaucracy, the bureaucracy.
The huge bureaucracy.
And in this business, the worst thing in the world is this wage price board for the person going around holding these little hearings. In fact, you don't need that.
Never.
Because short of a mandatory freeze or short of wage price controls, I just don't think there's anything as potent or as powerful as your personal personal treatment. I mean, the price increases by industry or wage
like saying something.
Sure.
Yeah. Which we will.
And I think that's more powerful.
You think we should stick with David Bacon
for a while?
Sure.
Sure.
It's having some effect.
Sure.
Sure. Hodgson seems to still think he's going to get some sort of agreement. Boy, that would be an enormous achievement. They would make some sort of agreement just to hold where it is.
Now
I don't know what he's going to try.
I don't think he should do this.
much out of the unorganized labor, they'll never do anything that's,
you know, and what I would do first, I'd get guidance like Red Monks, where you propose legislation, or are you gonna propose legislation requiring labor to bargain on a local basis, you know, actually restructuring the unions. But I would submit it this year. I'm not even sure I'd submit it to kind of late next year.
Yeah, we've got to, so
late next year.
We don't want to appear to be impotent. No, that's the other thing on campus. No, in that field. And also, you just draw a sword. You have this bloody fight. We have to take a look and see what our plans are.
Well, if you submit something now and gets defeated,
yeah.
Well, then you've done nothing except anger labor. And you convince the rest of the country that you can't.
Right.
You can't get anything done.
That's right.
But you can wait till last year and come with some of these ideas.
And then have them as an issue.
Then you can have them as an issue.
Sure, you can have them as an issue.
If this is happening,
if necessary. Well, we can't.
So I don't.
Well, this is fine.
Thank you very much.
I'll let you late.
Let me ask you,
your feeling, I guess I'll get Arthur in and I'll put that down to him. I don't think then we'll bother with the quadri. I have no reason really to have one right now. But I think since we're talking about April 15th, that's something you ought to do. The other problem we have, incidentally, is I did want to mention this. You know, Maury Sands and actually Hodgson, Sands and Hodgson, and because of their backgrounds, Blunt, Volpe, and Romney, and even for that matter, Harvard, in fact, the whole domestic side, they all want to get into the economic side. I suppose it might do them a little good to sit down and express some of their views, but the difficulty is, you know, we can't do it away from that.
Sure, I don't know, Professor.
Yes.
Have a good show.
Have a good go.
Yes.
Yes.
I think we've done it before, and I think that,
as you well know, you get some criticism from this town because
they don't have a chance to talk to you tonight, and you know, whether you follow their advice or not, everybody's proud enough, in particular the fellows here in Kevin, where they will get it.
That's right.
Of course, you follow it, not somewhere else.
Right.
And they don't really expect you to always follow it.
Right.
But they said they told them, but they won't be able to say, I told you so.
What we might do is to devote the next camp meeting just to this, on the economic thing, on the talk of
the economy.
Oh, that should have a couple hours.
I have a real good set to do it.
And you say he'll bore you and it'll take time.
Oh, no, I don't. That's boring.
It's not a waste of time.
Oh, no, it's therapy. You be doing something that'll
right.
Hold your limb.
Make them better.
We want to help.
We want to see them. Get them. Let them feel
good. Yes, I think we, just very quickly, I may change my ideas on this Lockheed thing now. It's
all
come to a head, but
is it
probably next week?
Yeah.
We lost that SST we did in the house.
Boy, that's a topic.
And I'll tell you now, when this country gets the point where these environmentalists are this much in control of this country.
Oh, God. Well, of course,
we've got trouble with that.
Let me say, this is whole, in this case, of course, I must say it's the whole damn liberal spectrum.
That's right.
Beat the hell out of that.
That's right.
But to lose that. Now, I think we've got to continue fighting.
Well,
Maggie and Soup, of course, will try it in the Senate. But,
I'm going to talk to Benson this week.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just hoping to hell I can get his vote. And I think we can make a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk to John Sherman Cooper, somebody said it's all to be the John Mitchell I've talked to.
SST, it's a tough one. But I still think it's going to be built.
Oh,
my God, this country is going to build and it's going to have to.
And your position is absolutely right.
We've got to stick to it.
No question. The only significant part of it is that in spite of all of the merits, that you got this combination of the liberals, of the nuts on the ecology, and this environment that combine together to defeat it.
That's right.
But two lousy planes.
Two planes.
Two prototypes.
Two prototypes.
This is the
Lockheed, you'll know next week, huh?